We started a series last week called Remember When. And I wonder if, how many of you like are nostalgic by nature? Like you just like nostalgia, like you like to do things the old way. How many of you are like nostalgic by nature? I mean, I know a lot of people are. And I know that sometimes we make statements. I used to make fun of my parents when they used to tell me about their childhood. You know, did you ever have parents who like walked uphill in the snow both ways to get to school, and yet you knew they lived in Florida, and you're like, I don't think you did that. And like, but they're like, you don't know how good you've got it. I remember my dad. My dad was one of those guys. He's sitting back over here in the back, and I like to make fun of him. But I remember as a kid, like we didn't have central heat and air. We had like a window shaker. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like it was like a wall shaker. And for us in our house, you did not turn on that AC unit until June 1st. Man doesn't say amen for anything else, nothing else. He doesn't say amen for the word of God. No, but amen for the air conditioner. Only turn on June 1st. And then it turned off. Literally, it turned off. August, done. I'm like, Dad, it's still hot. Still feels like really hot outside. Too bad. And then he would tell me this, boy, one day when you have your own house, I guarantee you're going to turn that air up. And I was like, Dad, one day when I have my house, it's going to go down low. So if you've been to my house and you bring sweaters to my house, and it's just funny, like we love to remember things. And so here's what I want to do. I want to kind of take your memory back because we're going to remember some things today. How many of you were 80s kids? 80s kids. How many of you remember the 80s? Best. Literally, if you're from the 80s and that was as good as you got, you are terrible. We had the best genre of music. Everybody knows that. All right, how many of you are 90s kids?
You guys, your music, you hated the world. Like, they were so mad at everybody. I mean, that's when the song, I hate everything about you. I'm like, guys, you let everybody know. Like, you're mad at people. And then we, how many 2000 kids do we have in here? Do we have the 2000s? Okay, we got you guys. All right, so here's the deal. I've got some photos up here, I think. Oh, there's the 2000s right there, PS2, you know. I didn't know what that was. Back up to the 80s. Can we back up to there again? There. Oh, how many? Oh, whoa, this is great right here. How many of you remember this game right here? That was the dumbest game ever. I don't know. It was just like, and then they, how many of you knew the code to the Rubik's Cube? Anybody know the code to the Rubik's Cube? I had friends in school and I was like, no wonder you fail all the time. Like, he knew. I had a buddy of mine, Steve, who literally knew how to do a Rubik's Cube like within like 3 minutes. And then we would go to the skating rink, because that's what you did in the 80s. And then he would go to the arcade. And he had memorized the pattern to Pac-Man. So he would never lose. And I'm like, Steve, we paid to go skating and you're playing Pac-Man. He goes, I know, watch, look. And he literally just, he didn't even have to look. He just knew where it would go. And he would never lose. And I'm like, and it was the goal of every 80s kid to get your name on the high score of the video game inside of the skating rink. And then you would go there the next week to see if your name was still there. I never had my name on that. So there's that. But I know today it feels a lot different. Today it feels different than the 80s, the 90s, even the 2000s. It feels a little different. Instead of waiting to catch a song on the radio, we scroll through endless playlists on Spotify, on Apple Music. And instead of connecting face-to-face, we check in on social media and we hit people up there. And instead of simplicity, we're living in a world that feels increasingly chaotic. I don't know if you feel like your world goes so fast that it's hard for you to keep up. But I know that in this environment, sometimes it can feel overwhelming. And we wonder, is this how it should be? But here's the truth that I want to talk about today. Because I believe when we're talking about remembering when, What we have to do is remember that in this ever-changing culture, we have a God who is constant. We have a God who is consistent. I love the scripture that says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Everything else changes in life. Everything, and if something in your life hasn't changed lately, buckle up, because you got a change probably on the horizon. Like, change is always happening. I know in times like these, full of political tension, uncertainty, rapid changing of jobs and relationships and everything else, remembering God has to become essential. Because if you don't have an anchor point, your life can feel like it's just getting tossed everywhere. If God is not our foundation, he's just another part of our lives. And I think that sometimes we have a Christian culture who wants to add God as an additive rather than having God be an anchor point. We want to add God to what we do. We want God to get in on what I'm doing, but I've yet to get in on what he's doing. And I think we've got it kind of reversed. And God says, I want you to get in on what I'm doing. I want to be the constant in your life. My dad was talking to me this past week. We were just talking about our boat, and my dad works at the yacht club, and he was talking about a guy that he had talked to this past week at the yacht club who rode out one of the storms in his sailboat. And it's not the Dave guy that's been all over the news that was anchored up by the Gasparilla. It's not him. It's a different guy. And this guy was anchored up in John's Pass, in the John's Pass area, with his girlfriend. And he said, I threw my mud anchor out. And my dad was like, what's a mud anchor? And then he figured out what a mud anchor was. And then the guy said, you know, we're just going to ride out the storm. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. I don't understand people who are like, yeah, I think I could do this. I think I could ride this out. Like, why would you want, even if you could, why would you want to? And so the guy proceeded to tell my dad, he said, listen, he said, everything was going good. And he said, we were out there, we were watching everything. And he said, then it took a wave over the bow because the mud anchor pulled the nose down and then the wave came right over the top. And he said, then I was like, oh, let's get in and let's batten down the hatches. And he said, then another wave came in and it literally smashed in the door that he had just shut on the sailboat. And he's telling his girlfriend, this doesn't look good. I wonder if she's going, really? Really? And then he said, all I know is the next wind that came through took the roof right off the sailboat. And he said, we got to get out of here. And he said the anchor came loose and they ended up on a street somewhere in the John's Pass area. The boat ended up on a street. And he said they got out to safety. And I bet he wished he had a better anchor point. And I wonder if sometimes when our lives are going chaotic, we wish we had a better anchor point. So today I want us to remember some things. If you have the new Relevant Church app downloaded, let me share this with you. Stacy did a great job telling you. If you have the old Relevant Church app downloaded, that one is not the new one. So delete that one and upload the new one. You can go and look for Relevant Church, Ybor City. It'll pop right up and you can re-download the new one. All of our new stuff is all on the new app. It's all on the new website. So if you are an Android user, Google is still slow. And so they're still evaluating the app that Apple already said was okay to use. So if you're an Android user, hopefully, maybe this week, we'll see. Also, if you're in the parking garage, now you know the parking garage is working now, and so there is a new code that you have to put in when you come into the garage to park in the garage on Sundays. And so thank you for your patience with that. We wish that we didn't have to do that, but that's just kind of the nature of how the new parking system is for the city of Tampa. And so you have to use the code on your way in. It's reversed of how it used to be. You use it on the way in, not on the way out. So you have to punch in your license plate and that code and on your way in. So if you didn't do that today, I'll close my eyes and you can run out and go do that if you feel like you need to. But make sure that you do that, and thank you for your patience and understanding in how that has gone. But remembering who God is doesn't just comfort us. It should actually transform how we live. Like, remembering who God is in our lives literally shouldn't just comfort us when we're sad. It should actually transform how we live each and every day of our lives. And if it doesn't, then what I'm saying is that I think that maybe you're using God as an additive and not an anchor point. And we have to remember that God is the anchor point. Here's the first thing I want you to remember about God. Remember, God is unchanging. God does not change. He doesn't change the way he thinks. He doesn't change the way he speaks. He does not change. I know that there's a lot of ideology out there in the Christian world that basically says that God moves along with culture. God doesn't move along with culture. God says that he is the one who is supposed to shape culture, and it's his truth that shapes culture. It is not culture that shapes God. If your culture shapes your God, you have the wrong God. You have created yourself and culture as a God. God is who he is, and we shape ourselves around him. I love what Isaiah says. It says this: remember the things that I have done in the past. This is God talking to the prophet Isaiah. He says, for I alone am God. I am God, and there's none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. And I think that's probably the part that we don't like about God. He says, I will call a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from a distant land to come and do my bidding. I have said what I would do, and I will do it. The word remember here is a word that we learned last week. It's the Hebrew word zakar. And it actually means it implies a purposeful, active choice to remember God and to root oneself in that truth that God is to be remembered. God doesn't change. He says, remember, I can do it. So there's some attributes of God. There's some unchanging attributes of God that I think are important in this idea of remembering. I know that we get nostalgic and we remember like the games that we play. We remember the songs that we listen to. We remember all the things about our childhood. But what God is saying, I want you to remember all the things about me. And so you can't remember the things about God if you don't know the things of God. And so today I want to challenge you with understanding that God, one of the attributes of God is he's eternal. That means God is constant. He's unaffected by time, trends, or circumstances. Malachi 3:6 reiterates this when it says, for I, the Lord, do not change. I can tell you this, leaders change. Situations change. Even our closest relationships can fluctuate. But God is the same. He's dependable today, and he's as dependable today as he was when he created the universe. He's as dependable today. He's also sovereign. Now, the sovereignty of God is something that can kind of get a little bit confusing, but God is sovereign. He has the power and wisdom and authority to do anything he chooses within his creation. Here's where people get squirrely or even maybe a little bit angst about the sovereignty of God, because they say this: if God can do anything, why doesn't he? Because if God could remove cancer, why doesn't he? If God could make my parent or my sibling or my friend not die, why didn't he? Like, if God can, why doesn't he? Why does he become and seem like an absentee God? Why? Now, here's the flip side of that. I wonder if we could pull back the curtain and see all the things where God intervened, I wonder if we'd be just as surprised. Because sovereignty means that God can do anything, but it also means that if he is sovereign, he can choose not to do certain things too. And that could be his will. And you go, well, that's a terrible God. That doesn't sound like a very nice God to me, because he should do what I want him to do. Do you see how reversed we get when we start thinking that God should do our bidding and God should answer the way I want him to answer, instead of saying, God, you're the sovereign God. You know how things should be. And for some reason, we fail to remember that we live in a world that is completely fallen, and quite frankly, most of the time has completely rejected God and said, God, we want you. It's interesting that we want God out of our lives until we want him in our lives. I want God out of my situation. I want him out of my stuff. I want him out of my personal space. I don't want him involved in that. But if I have a crisis in my life, then I want God. God, where are you, God? God goes, you haven't talked to me in months. God's sovereignty is bigger than that. Isaiah 46:10 says, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. God alone declares. The idea depicted of a God who must do anything just because he can do anything does not take into account the sovereignty of God. Just because he can doesn't mean he must. When we remember his sovereignty, we're reminded that nothing, no situation, no person, no crisis can overrule his purpose. Here's the confidence. He's constant. How many of you have ever been to a lighthouse? Anybody ever been to a lighthouse before? There's one over on the East Coast, and there's several up and down the coast. There is a picture. There are very few. Most lighthouses are literally right on the edge of the water. They're right on the coast. There are only a small percentage of lighthouses that are actually out further out into the ocean. And I have a picture of one. This one is actually on the western side of France. And this particular lighthouse has had more pictures taken of this lighthouse than just about any other lighthouse because of the size waves that this lighthouse takes. Like, they're literally enormous, and it looks like it engulfs the whole lighthouse. But there's another picture that maybe you've seen before, and there's a dude actually in the lighthouse still. They're always in every lighthouse, there is a lighthouse keeper, and he's always there. Now, some of you may think, that's just Photoshopped. Well, I thought so too. So I actually went and found the video. And so I ripped this from the video where it shows the wave crash completely around the lighthouse. And the guy goes like this. He steps back and closes the door just as the wave comes around the thing. And I was like, you are psycho, man. Like, I just don't know what it would be like to be there. But he doesn't seem worried. He's just kind of like, he's like doing a GQ pose or something. Like, he's like, there, yeah, I've got my sweater on, and I'm just watching the waves. And like, why is he not afraid? He's not afraid because he knows that that lighthouse has been there for 150 years, and this isn't the first storm it's gone through. It's not the first storm. And he said, if it stood all of those storms, I can trust that it will remain and it will keep me safe. And I wonder if what happens is in our lives is we don't have a God that's a lighthouse God for us. A point of reference that we go to when everything else seems to be falling apart. Our world is constantly changing, but God is our constant person who's always with us. And so what I want us to do is become intentional about recognizing who God is. That is he your anchor point? Or is he just an additive? The second thing I want you to remember is that God is our protector. He's our protector. Psalm 121, 1 through 8 says this. It says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers. He never sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. The word guard in the Hebrew is shamar, which means to keep, or to watch over. And so God says he is our shamar. He is the person who watches over and guards us. He is the one who protects us. How many of you have ever watched a mom? Moms are interesting. Moms are just mama bears. Like, that's just what they are. And they're going to protect their kids. Like, they just do that. That's just instinctive for them. And I don't know if you've ever watched a mom, but if she's got littles and they're crossing a street, a mom will always do this. She always sticks the arm out. Like, don't cross the arm. Like, the kid could go under the arm. The kid could go around the arm. But for some reason, the arm is there. Now, if you had a mom like me, I think that she was Stretch Armstrong, because that arm could reach in places it should not have been able to reach. She would reach behind her seat, and she could hit you in the back seat. Just whack! And I don't know if you had a mom like that, but I don't know what she did, but she would take her arm out of socket, and she'd be like, yeah, you better straighten up back there. It is no wonder we just didn't kill ourselves from a car accident from her just trying to do that. With my brother and I, we're fighting in the back seat. But moms are protectors. And I wonder if we never realized that God is our ultimate protector. Like, we need to remember that he's our protector. Some of the attributes to remember in the idea of God being our protector is that God is omnipresent. That means there's not a place you can go that God doesn't go. There's not a place you can go. There's not a place you do go that God doesn't go. I think that it's fascinating that sometimes as human beings, we think that God didn't see where we went last night or where we went the night before. And then we come into church and we lift our hands in worship and we fail to realize that we took God with us everywhere else we went. Because he's omnipresent. He's always with us and never distant. And that can be something that we're like, I wish he wasn't. Like, I wish I could put God in a box over here and have him not go with me everywhere. I wish I could choose where God gets to go with me. But when we invite Christ into our lives, it says that he indwells us. So he lives in us and he goes with us. Psalm 121, the passage we just read, says, indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers and never sleeps. He doesn't sleep. I know some of you in here, how many of you do not require much sleep? How many of you are, like, you don't require much? There's some people in here. Tom, you don't have your hand raised. I know that you don't. Tom, one of our elders, it's the funniest. The guy never sleeps. I don't think he ever sleeps. Like, 3-4 hours, he's like, I'm good. I'm good. I feel good. And maybe now he sleeps more. I don't know. But I remember back in the day, he'd be like, yeah, four hours sleep. I'm good to go. And I don't, I need a little more sleep than that. But then I realize that lately I don't feel like I ever sleep. But, oh, well, that's just how it is. I know this, that God doesn't sleep on you. When you think God is distant, he's not sleeping because he doesn't sleep. God is omnipresent, but God is also faithful, which means this: God is unceasingly committed to his people, guarding us through every season of life. And I don't know what season you're going through, because I know that there's probably some people right now, the season of life that you're in, you wish you could get out of this season really fast. I know that for some of you, the season of Thanksgiving and Christmas are the hardest seasons because some of the people that you loved the most are not with you anymore. And I just want you to know that God is faithful in those seasons too. The Lord himself, it says, watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. How many of you have ever stolen one of these from Relevant Church on a rainy day? See, y'all didn't know that this was accountability, because, like, we pass them out at the front of the church, and literally we say, hey, drop it in the bucket at the other church, at the parking garage when you get there. And literally, we buy these by, like, the 50 lot count. And every time it rains again, I go, hey, where are the umbrellas? I go, well, they're gone. And Tim is running to Home Depot to buy more umbrellas. But it's okay. We don't care. They're not that expensive. But I know this, that if you're out in the rain and you don't have one of these, man, it sure is nice. Do you know how I wooed Susie? in college. I wish she was in here. This would have been so much better. So in Chattanooga, if you've ever been through Chattanooga, the armpit of the South, I know. It rains, though. In the wintertime, it doesn't get snowy in the winter in Chattanooga. It just rains in Chattanooga. And Susie spent 4 years in Chattanooga. And I'm telling you, I don't think it snowed one time. But when everybody else is getting snow, you're getting rain. So when you're a college dude, you make an investment in a big umbrella. Because this is a Christian college, you know, and so on Christian college campuses, you can't really touch or anything, but they got to get close if they don't want to get wet. So you go, okay. And so I had this huge umbrella, man, and I would go and I would get Susie and I would walk her to class on rainy days. And I know, it was great. Now, the bad thing was I was dating somebody else at the time. I know. I'm a terrible person. You can ask her if I'm lying, I'm dying. And I would walk her to class, and then I'd say, okay, I gotta go. I gotta go get my girlfriend. And I mean, Susie won. I mean, hey, the girlfriend didn't last. I mean, I've been with Susie 35 years, so I think she won. I don't know if it was the umbrella or not, but I know this. What if God has this umbrella of protection that he offers all the time? And he says, man, if you'll just stay close, if you'll just stay under here with me, the stuff out there, yes, it could be pouring out there. It could be horrible out there. Stay close. You see, when we have an umbrella and it's raining outside, we get as close as we can. Why is it that with God, we get out from under it and we go, God, why am I getting wet? Why is that? Why am I getting tore up out here in the storm? He goes, stay close. Maybe in the storms of our life, we need to get closer to God, not get further away from him. Maybe we wouldn't wonder where he is if we would stay within the umbrella of protection that he's offering us. When you feel uncertain or fearful, remember that God is the one who's kept you safe before, and he will, with his shamar, guard you again. Third thing is, remember God, he's our creator and he's our purpose giver. He is our creator and he is our purpose giver. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 7 says this, don't let the excitement of your youth cause you to forget your creator. Guys, that's important. What he is saying is the younger you are, sometimes the more forgetful we become about who created us. Because what we're doing is we're spending our lives trying to create our own way now. We're trying to create our path in life. We're trying to create a name for ourselves. And none of that is bad. But if you create the name for yourself and you leave out the name of God, you have created a very, very rocky foundation. Not something that's stable. He says, honor him in your youth before you grow old and say, life isn't pleasant anymore. Some old people, y'all need to think about that. Life's just not fun anymore. Remember him before the light of sun and moon and stars is dim in your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. This guy's having a bad day. He says, remember him before your legs, the guards of your house start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding. That means you've got no teeth. Okay, this is good. I'm telling you, see, some of y'all should read scripture more. It's funny. And it says this, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Aren't you glad? Like, I'm so glad Susie's eyes are getting bad. Remember him before the door of life's opportunity is closed and the sound of work fades. Now, rise up at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about the danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper and a Casper berry, no longer inspired sexual desire.
I don't know, man. This is crazy stuff. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, where the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now while you're young. For the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well, for then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Did you know that 7 times in the first 7 verses of this chapter, he uses the word remember? 7 different times. Remember, 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 remember. You know what I'm excited about? Remember last week, Hannah was up here and she was talking about our young adults and our young adult ministry. And she said, we're going to have our first worship night last Sunday night. And I know that Hannah was like, she was nervous. She was like, is anybody going to show up? Is anybody going to participate? And at about 6:30, when there were 2 people here, I started questioning the same thing. And by 7 o'clock, there were 70 young adults in here worshiping Jesus, crying out to Jesus. And what it told me is there is a generation. There's a generation out there who's saying, yes, God, I'm not going to forget you. I'm going to remember. And I want you to know, if you're in that generation, if you're in that 20s and 30s generation, chase after Jesus now. I know you'll never regret it. I know that. And if you're older than that, stop talking about the next generation as if they don't have a clue as to about who Jesus is, because there are thousands of them upon thousands of them who are literally passionately pursuing Jesus with all they got. And they may do it wrong, and they may not do it like you or like me, but they are trying to pursue Jesus, and we need to get behind them and say, we are for you. Because if we don't get behind them, there will not be another generation who's chasing after Jesus. We are already in a post-Christian generation, and if we can raise up a generation of 20 and 30-somethings who are pursuing Jesus, guys, we need to celebrate that. The Creator, the word in Hebrew is this, bara. And as our Creator, He gives us purpose that no one else can. If you are living a life that feels like it has no purpose, I want you to do this week. Lean into your Creator. Because maybe what you've leaned into is your creativity and not your Creator. Because in the beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. So He is the ultimate Creator. And if you lean into your own creativity and miss your Creator, I can promise you at some point in time in life, you're going to feel like you have no purpose. But if you lean into your Creator, the one who gives your creativity, literally, it changes your purpose in life. Real purpose happens when we align our will and our purpose with God's will and His purpose. You see, because God is omnipotent. That means He's all-powerful. He is the Creator of all and able to bring life and purpose out of nothing, which if you look at the word out of nothing, it's the word ex nihilo, out of nothing. God is the one who created out of nothing. In the beginning, the 5th word in the Bible, in the beginning, God created. He is the Creator. The one who creates, can I just submit to you this? The one who created it all gets to have authority over it all. Like, that's just the way it is. If you create it, you get the authority over it. I don't know, how many of you have ever heard this from your parents? This is my house, and if you're in my house, you'll live by my rules. How many ever heard that one before? You know why? They created it, so they set the rules for it. Why is it that we understand that in family dynamic, but we don't understand it in the family of God? Like, we want God to somehow give me a pass, and I don't want to say, God, you have authority. You created all this. You get authority over all this. He's omnipotent. That's why Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, don't let the excitement of your youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old and say, life isn't pleasant. I just love that statement, because I've heard so many older people go, oh, so life's just not fun anymore. It's just not fun like it used to be. I'm just going to tell you,
I'm still having a freaking blast. I love the life that God has given me. I'm old as dirt, and I am still going to celebrate because I know that my Creator's not done yet. And so I'm just going to keep celebrating. That's why Hebrews 13, 8, and 9 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't be attracted by strange new ideas. If there is a strange new idea that sounds very different than the old ideas of Scripture, it probably isn't a scriptural idea. Just because it sounds new and sounds good doesn't mean it is good. It just sounds new. God says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's what I want to add. Last week, I hope that last week you set your alarm. I hope that your alarm went off one day when it was the worst day in the world and you had an alarm that went off that said, God, I'm going to thank you. It was my thanks alarm. God, thanks alarm. I hope you set a thanks alarm. If you didn't last week, you need to listen to last week's message. You need to set an alarm every day at the worst part of your day because you know when the worst part of it is. And I want you to set an alarm and say, God, I'm going to thank you today for what you did for me today. Because you didn't have to. And then there was another thing that we did last week. We said we wanted you to keep a journal, a grateful journal. God, I'm grateful for this. God, I'm grateful for this. Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to add to that. I want you to remind yourself this week about the attributes of God. I want you to remember who God is. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is your protector. He is your guide. He is God, Jehovah, over all, above all, in all, through all, around all. That's who He is. And that means He's in the middle of your situation. I think it's important for us to remember when He showed up before. Because if He showed up before, He can do it again. Let's pray. God, we love you.